Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you. You know, it's interesting. We're just talking about Alabama players. And Texter brings up a good point. You know, the Texans, of course, have had good success drafting Alabama players of late. Two in 2022 and then two again in 2023. No more Nick Saban, maybe the end of half of the Texans draft being Alabama alums. I did think about that this weekend, Seth. We can ask Nick about that on Wednesday when he joins us. Nick Caserio joining us at 7:30 on Wednesday. But I do wonder, like, if Nick Caserio seeing Nick Saban retire is kind of like watching a restaurant that you love to go to every weekend. All of a sudden, the chef leaves, and you're like, "Okay, well, I'm not sure how great the dinners are going to. I mean, I'm sure they'll still be pretty good. It's an upscale restaurant. They're not going to go get some scrub, but that's been pretty fertile ground for the Texans in the draft. You know,
he mentioned specifically, like, with defensive backs.
Yep.
After they drafted Lassiter, that Georgia and Alabama are probably the best at coaching up the defensive backs. So yeah, there's a certain element of toughness and a certain element of, like, refinement, I think, that you get from Alabama defensive prospects, especially that. Yeah. I don't think that you can't just assume that it's going to be that way moving forward. Not to mention, you just don't know now with any of these colleges, like, how many guys are even going to, like, spending 3 or 4 years with Saban is a lot different than transferring in and spending 1 year with somebody else.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So,
but one thing he said about Lassiter, he was talking about just how well coached he was and that's important. I got a text from Dan Matthews, who's now back in town but was in Atlanta for like a decade.
Yeah.
He said two things to keep in mind. One was that he played special teams really well at Georgia, because Kirby uses starters on special teams. Two was that Georgia players used to talk about how practices were tougher than the games. They would go full contact on Tuesdays and call it Bloody Tuesday. And three,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I love that.
So, like, yeah, I mean, well, like, same thing as it is in Alabama. There's certain programs where you just don't worry about whether guys can handle tough coaching or anything.
Great point.
That's how the SWAC has been forever, too, is, like, some of those, there's a tradition in the SWAC of some of those schools where they have brutally difficult practices. So, like, you get a guy from a lot of the SWAC schools. I don't know, it's probably changed over time, but, like, you get it from some of those SWAC schools, like, those guys don't mind being coached hard or, like, practicing hard because it's nothing like what they had to do in college.
Here was Nick Caserio on Friday night after the Texans drafted Kamari Lassiter. Here's Caserio on Lassiter.
Lassiter is position flex. He's played in the perimeter of the formation. He's played inside the formation. I'd say he plays with a linebacker-type mentality. I mean, he's a corner, but he tackles. He's tough. He's physical. I'm sure there'll be a question about his speed and how fast he ran, but he's not slow. So, like, the speed really wasn't a concern of ours. So, the time's the time, but, like, we're drafting football players. You know, we're not drafting track teams. So, I know speed's important. I'm not saying speed's not important, but we don't feel that that's an issue for this particular player. And when you watch him play in the SEC, you don't walk away and have that concern.
I think there's an interesting thing about Lassiter that intrigues me. And remember, especially in the second round, like, everybody's going to have things they need to work on. First round, everybody has things they need to work on.
Sure.
But with Lassiter, a lot of the things that are areas of improvement for him are also specifically tied to things that are very positive about him. So, for one, like, he's really good at anticipating routes and recognizing and anticipating routes. But in doing so, sometimes he gets a little too aggressive, and he can be beat that way if he guesses wrong, you know, and gets beat. Not even on a double move. Sometimes he just guesses wrong, and he gets beat on a cut. So that does happen. But I think that's very coachable. The other is that he has an appetite for destruction in a very good way. Like, he will fly up and just torpedo himself towards anybody and everybody. But in doing that, sometimes he comes in a little out of control or with bad form or with bad leverage. But the willingness is there, and the good plays are there too. There's plays that he makes in the backfield where it's really nice tackling. There's others where he's a little out of position. So I'm optimistic that the things he needs to work on are very correctable. One of the things that doesn't show up on a 40 time, but that I know drives people insane if they don't have this skill, is that he is really, really good at, like, when he's face guarding a guy, reading the receiver's eyes, knowing when the ball is coming, turning and disrupting instead of sticking his hands up in the air and hoping for the best. Like, he does. That's why it's so weird that he's not that great at actually catching the ball.
Yeah.
Because he's incredible at actually getting up and making a play on the ball. But there's not. He's not so great at actually coming down with the ball. Maybe. But otherwise, like, he really does some of the harder to coach, more infuriating things really, really well.
Here's Kirby Smart. If you're wondering what the mentality of Kamari Lassiter is, this was Kirby Smart on Lassiter's decision to play in the bowl game this season. Keep in mind, they were playing Florida State, who played nobody. They beat Florida State like a drum because Florida State just, everybody opted out of the game. Kamari Lassiter was not going to opt out of that game.
Kamari Lassiter had a 1-2 grade. First, second round grade. And Kamari had to make a tough decision, like all these other people. And I called Kamari in and I talked to him and I told him, Kamari, you should come out for the draft. That's my opinion. You're one of the top corners in the draft. You got to make that decision. Okay, that's one decision. Then the second decision is you got to decide if you want to play in this bowl game. I don't know that you got a lot to gain in this bowl game, Kamari, but I do know who you are. And I do know how you practice, and I do know how you lead, but I'm not going to be disappointed in anything you decide. He came back about 3 or 4 days later, and I met with him and his mom and talked to him and fully expected him not to play in this game. He called me 2 days later, said, Coach, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sitting out. I'm over there coaching. I can't do it. I want to be out there. I want to play with my guys. And I think he did it against his mother's will, to be honest. Now, I don't know that, but I think he did it against his mother's will because that's who he is. So all these teams that go shopping, this dude right here wants to play football. That's all he cares about is playing football and his teammates. He ain't worried about the next thing and all that and all that. He said, I want to play football. And he played football for the University of Georgia. And he did it when he didn't have to do it. And that's what's different at this place than a lot of other places. Thank you.
This is the thing I'm noticing, I think, is that guys not playing in a bowl game is not a check against them because so many guys are doing it nowadays, but it's very much a check in your favor if you do it. Like, yeah. Will Anderson and those guys, I mean, that's one thing. That the stark disparity between the recruiting conversations Nick Saban was having this past year with NIL and everything compared to, like, his recent experience with Will Anderson, where Will Anderson and the other guys who were leaving in the draft that year got together in a non-playoff bowl game, which for Alabama is a letdown, and said, like, no, we're playing in this game.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was big, and I think the Texans probably would have drafted him anyway, but I know they were really impressed
they
that he
like
played
that.
In that bowl game.
Yeah, they like that. Then that's where we have fun with Bryce Young on this show, but Bryce Young played in that bowl game that you're talking about with Will Anderson.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's against Kansas State.
The cynical side of me right here, Sean, would say, all right, Kirby's a smart dude. He probably figures, you know, I don't really have any control over whether he's going to go off in the draft or not. But as long as I make a big show of showing him that I want the best for him, you know, maybe I get... If I wasn't going to get him coming back and if I wasn't going to get him in the bowl game, I'll really show my love and how I respect his decision, you know. And they no, it's your choice completely. I don't want you to feel bad about it. And that's enough. My coach kept me from transferring that way my junior year.
Oh, really?
In college.
Okay.
Yeah. Came in, like, basically gave me the speech about how he loves me and he wants the best for me. And he's if I transfer to a bigger school, he'll cheer for me and everything. And I felt like, oh, This is the person I've always needed in my life. I can't do it, and I stayed.
I just like how Kirby used that whole minute and a half of audio at the end to make it about the University of Georgia. Like, he billboarded the whole thing at the end. He's like, that's what we've got here at Georgia. Thank you. And he walks off. Yeah.
12-dimensional chess,
that's
Sean.
It, man. That's what he's doing. All right, let's get to some of these. We'll rapid-fire some of these because we got to get to Cade Stover. But Blake Fisher, tackle Notre Dame, goes 59th. Here was Nick Caserio on Blake Fisher.
6'5 and a half, 315 pounds, long arms, plays strong, plays physical, played against good competition, well-coached. I'm the offensive line coach, former offensive line coach at the University of Wisconsin. So play with JP. So, I mean, I think our program will benefit him, but you can't have enough tackles in your building. Right now we have, really four, including Charlie and David Sharp, who we signed. You know, Blake is another tackle, but we're going to carry probably four tackles. So you're going to need three, and you all have seen his play. At some point, they're going to have to play.
Yeah, that last part's key, I think. We all followed a team this year that had to start Austin Deculus in week four. You know,
oh, I forgot about that.
The injuries come fast and furious sometimes. You know,
poor Austin Deculus. Yeah, that's a man.
And no disrespect, his family listens.
No. I'm saying like it wasn't. Austin Deculus is going to take. Gosh, how many years is it for him now? It's the third or fourth year.
He was in that 22 class. He was in the Stingley class. Yeah,
I think I still have. I don't know. There's something there with Austin Deculus.
Yeah,
maybe I just like his hair. I don't know. I don't think he was ready last year.
Sure.
I think that you always need a third offensive tackle. I know McLean tweeted something about this weekend. People are just dead set against ever believing that a pick is best player available. I do think that it's always on a sliding scale, and there's times where, especially in this draft where Caserio is having a hard time moving around via trade as much as he likes to, I think this might have very simply been a case of best player available, that the guys in positions that they really would have liked to draft just weren't there. So at that spot, you're like, okay, who's the best guy on our board? It's Blake Fisher. Here we go.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance like 10 guys they really liked flew off the board in the previous 15 picks in between Lassiter and Fisher getting picked.
And Nick pointed out that a lot of offensive tackles were taken immediately after him. I don't think he was saying it as an argument or anything. But, yeah, two more guys would go in the second round and then a few more early in the third round. So it was one of those bands of players that
clump.
You're talking about.
Yeah, it was a clump. Yeah. Kalen Bullock was the third-round pick for the Texans. Safety out of USC. They traded up 8 spots. So they finally made a trade up. They didn't move off of 42 and 59, but they did move off of 86. Up to 78, they draft Kalen Bullock. Here's what the Texans are getting, according to Nick Caserio, with Kalen Bullock.
He's rangy. He covers ground. He plays the ball well. He has good movement skills for his safety. He started his career as a corner. I'm not saying he's a corner, but he moves well for his size. He's 6'2", 190 pounds. Honestly, some of his best football is probably in front of him. He needs to get stronger. I mean, he'll be the first to tell you that. So I think there's some developmental opportunities with him relative to his frame. We're talking about a guy at 6'2", 190 pounds, ran 4.5, that moves well for his size, plays the ball, is instinctive, is an eraser in a deep part of the field, has to improve as a tackler, which goes back to improving his playing strength. So hopefully our program will be beneficial to him in that respect.
So there you go, Kalen Bullock, safety out of USC.
Yeah, I think it's funny. In a lot of ways, he's like the anti-Lonnie Johnson. If you think about it, Lonnie Johnson was a guy who came in as a corner. It turned out to be just way too big to be a corner, so they moved him to safety.
Yeah.
Bullock's the opposite, which is that, boy, he seems a little too skinny to be a safety in some regards, you know, but you're not – I don't think you should be tempted to move him outside to – you shouldn't move him outside to cornerback at all. I like that his length is – reflected in his play.
Yes.
You know, like you like to think about like, oh, this tall, lanky safety who can go up and make plays on jump balls and deep balls and everything like that. Yes, he does a really good job of understanding where the ball is going to be and how to get to it. He's willing to be physical. I thought there were some things, the way it was phrased in some of the reports I read this weekend, I think were a little inaccurate in that some people acted like he didn't have an appetite for physicality. He has an appetite to come up and stick people. he's just not sometimes strong enough to do it the right way. So yep. when you hear Nick talk about gaining some strength, yeah, I think like there's certain elements of his game and certain things you might ask him to do that, like, he's not going to be a box safety anytime soon.
So Nick Caserio, we just played him talking about the three players they drafted on Friday, and very complimentary of all of them, likes all of them, obviously. Very scouting report-ish when it came to kind of his breakdown there. Here was Nick Caserio on Saturday talking about Ohio State tight end Cade Stover, who the Texans moved up a few spots to get in round four.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's elite. I mean, this guy is as tough and hard-nosed a player that they had in the program. Just kind of going back to the question and D'Amico's answer about developing players, I'd say Cade's a good example of a player who's only played tight end for 2 years, so he's certainly not a finished product, but he has the mindset and the work ethic to improve. I mean, how he was raised. I mean, this guy is everything you want in a football player. And then more. I mean, he probably played hurt this year. I mean, I think he had an MCL or had an issue where, quite frankly, it would have limited some other players, but he just braced it up and he just kept playing football. So, I mean, I don't want to speak for D'Amico, but I think we feel the same way. This is probably one of our favorite, like, football players in the entire draft, regardless of position, because of his mentality, because of his mindset. And he still is developing as a player. I mean, 2 years ago, he was playing defensive end in the Rose Bowl against Utah. Now he's, you know, played tight end for 2 years, and here he is getting picked in the bottom of the fourth round, and his position is, you know, we think tight end. That's why we drafted him. So, but I mean, blue collar as they come, and from a makeup, traits, toughness, mentality, I mean, this is an elite guy.
Yeah, I'll tell you another thing too, and I was glad, I'll credit one of our listeners for I had mentioned his blocking Cade Stover before the draft, and one of our listeners after the show texted me with a couple things, or DM'd me with a couple things, and I did. I was guilty of this. I was guilty of reading a bunch of synopses, and I'd watched a little bit of Cade Stover, just highlights and everything, but I hadn't really given credence or even thought about the fact that he's only been playing tight end for a couple years. Like, there are multitudes of examples of him not just blocking, but like blocking with really good form. I think there's also an element that he is still, there's situations he gets caught in at times where you can see that he has a lack of experience, and he doesn't have like the bodies. He's not going to be Gronk, you know, nobody ever will be again, probably in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
So I don't, but I'm not worried at all. A, about his willingness to block. I mean, that's absurd. But B, I think for his body type and everything, I think he'll be just fine because he's going to work at it. So, and then, like, he's another guy. You look at his physicality and the run after the catch. Like, everything that Nick just said about his grittiness and everything, that's all very true.
Use the E word, man. Use the E word twice. Elite. He said at the beginning and the end, elite, for the 123rd pick in the draft.
What's the worst E word? Text in. 713-572-4610.
Oh, like, if we were like, oh, God, they called him the E word, that kind of thing? Iguana?
Yeah, I can't think of... What Ben?
What'd
say?
You say, Ben?
Iguana. Is that an E word? I thought that
no,
was.
I'm
a...
being silly.
Okay. He's being... Look at Ben.
Ben, we're talking to a guy who doesn't know what a chimpanzee is.
Hey,
so you think
I
he's going to know the proper?
No, I was brushing up. I was playing primate flashcards this weekend. Sean, what is this?
I'm sure there's a really obvious one that I'm missing.
Yeah.
I'm just not wired that way, people.
Right? No, you don't have hate in your heart. Absolutely.
You people need to understand that.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Reaction Monday from the draft. If you're looking to get excited about being in the AFC South, we have some audio for you coming up next. The person you're about to hear from is probably going to be running one of the organizations in this division someday, and it's pretty glorious.
Ooh.
You're going to enjoy this. Yes, coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, so this is kind of funny, right? We're in the AFC South, so you got the Texans, the Colts, the Titans, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it's kind of a fun division ownership-wise right now. It's really fun now that, you know, Cal and Hannah are everybody's king and queen here in town.
They're cult heroes.
They're cult heroes, and it's fun because you
They are to us like Duran Duran is to England, I think.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking, Seth.
Like pop appeal, but also like cult hero status.
So in Indianapolis, we've got Jim Irsay, who we've had a ton of fun with through the years, right? He's of the quartile.
In the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
You've got Amy Adams Strunk, who everybody just despises right now.
Ugh.
And now and forever, right?
Yeah. She's just a little just petty.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's petty. She's even pettier than we are.
Yeah, I know. Which is like, we're paid to be petty.
Right.
You know, she's just doing it for recreation.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't serve a purpose.
You're a captain of industry. Act like it, okay? And then we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars, where...
captain of collecting... checks from the family trust, but okay.
Shad Khan, actual captain of industry before getting into the NFL. And I don't know what they think of Shad Khan in Jacksonville right now. Like, the team is better than they've been on the aggregate over the last several years.
Sorry, not to go off on a huge tangent.
No, I'm legitimately wondering. I know you talk to people in Jacksonville.
Well, right. I mean, people are going to get frustrated with ownership and the decisions they make and the GMs they keep and all of that. But I think the biggest thing about Jacksonville is, like, for a team that was perennially, you know, floated out as the team that's going to go to London or the team that's going to get moved, like, Shad Khan is a billionaire who very much invests in Jacksonville.
Yes.
Like so I think at the end of the day, they're only going to go so far with any criticism of Shad Khan because they know that, like, and if another owner had bought that team 15 years ago, they might be out of there.
They'd be gone. So I think what's interesting, too, when you look at this division is Shad Khan is the only first-generation owner in this division right now.
The one that made his money and bought the team.
You know, because Cal is obviously, you know, he and the family are inheriting the team from the late Bob McNair.
And especially like guy came over from I want to say he's Pakistan from Pakistan as a college student and then like invented a bumper that ended up being the bumper that's on 60% of all cars in America. He is a pick yourself up by the bootstraps.
Yes.
Like made in America story.
Entrepreneur.
That's really,
yeah.
It's a really good story.
Right.
And then.
So you've got the Texans, second generation, and we just mentioned we like what Cal and Hannah are doing right now. You got Jim Irsay, who as a second generation owner, look, they've won a Super Bowl with him there. So he's quirky, but team's been largely successful. Amy Adams Strunk, the team has not been good by and large since she inherited the team from her dad. She is second generation. And now you got Shad Khan. And what's coming down the pipe for the second generation of Khan someday?
Yeah.
It's funny you should ask. Tony Khan is Shad Khan's son. He is involved in the soccer team that Shad Khan owns in some sort of executive position. He's director of football science or something like that for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Tony Khan spends most of his time owning and writing storylines for and now appearing on camera for his wrestling company called All Elite Wrestling, which you can find on TNT and TBS throughout the week.
I, knowing nothing at all about wrestling, but having attended one of the events, I thought was awesome.
It was fun.
It was the first time I've ever like just wholeheartedly jumped into buying into wrestling and having fun with it, and I had a blast.
Yeah, I enjoy the product. I watch it, not every week, but I watch it a lot of weeks. I enjoy it. So Tony Khan is the both the actual and storyline owner of the company, and he appeared on TV last week welcoming a wrestler who had been fired back into the company. It's Luke Perry's son, the late Luke Perry. It's his son. Luke Perry died? Yes. Yeah. Passed away.
Well, you can do the rest of this segment yourself. I didn't even know.
You're going to be all right.
Okay, so Luke Perry's
kid gets welcomed back into the company. His name's Jack. Jack Perry. Jungle Boy is his name.
On
screen. No, he's got big curly hair. So he's got big foofy curly hair. He's
making a mistake not having sideburns.
So he in storyline punches Tony Khan in the stomach. Tony Khan goes down in a heap. Two other wrestlers who are kind of like Jack Perry's buddies in storyline come out, and they're trying to like, hey, Jack, calm down. You shouldn't really do that to the owner of the company. And they just say, screw it, and end up giving a spike pile driver to Tony Khan and drive his head into the mat. And so now he's showing up with a neck brace on. He's fine. It's a storyline. But he was sitting in the Jacksonville War Room all weekend with the neck brace on, selling the wrestling storyline that's ongoing.
The pictures are so funny.
They're hilarious because he's a goofy-looking guy.
And he's really... if you guys were watching on YouTube when he interviewed him at the Super Bowl, like, he is a quirky guy. He's just kind of very... I loved talking to him. Very interesting and everything, but he's just kind of quirky.
He's quirky. Yeah, Seth and I interviewed him on Radio Row. So, Tony Khan winds up doing a hit on the NFL Network with Mike Garofalo and Steve Wyche. They're back in the studio. He's on a split screen, and they're interviewing him, and they ask him about All Elite Wrestling, and and compared it to WWE, and here's what Tony Khan said.
We are the most successful sports startup since the AFL pre-merger. There has not been a challenger brand that has gained as much market share as AEW. In many, many, many years, we are like the Pepsi of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And we're up against a really evil juggernaut. WWE is our competitor. That's who we're facing. AEW, like the Pepsi of pro wrestling. WWE is like the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling. And I'm really proud of what we do down here.
All right, Tony.
Yeah, you know the old Pepsi challenge where they put a can of Pepsi and a can of Harvey Weinstein on the table?
Sitting here trying to figure out, where's he going with this? Because, I don't know if, aligning yourself against Coke in any metaphor is a good idea, from a branding standpoint. Yeah. So, and maybe he realized that midway through and he's like, no, instead of Coke, I'll say Harvey Weinstein.
Well, the Harvey Weinstein thing comes from all the accusations against Vince McMahon.
No, I know. But he was mixing metaphors in a lot. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It was goofy. Yeah. It was stupid.
I know where it comes from.
Yeah, well, the audience might not. That's why I'm saying. So Vince McMahon, the former owner of WWE, is accused of a lot of really bad stuff and got let go by the company. Yeah, so that's... It didn't just come out of nowhere, is my point.
And he was wearing a neck brace while he was saying it.
So
all because Jason Priestley battered him, theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically.
Ian Ziering?
It was actually Shannon Doherty who gave him a spike pile driver. She came out along with the chick Jenny Garth, and they spike pile drove.
I'm like the Shannon Doherty of pro wrestling.
Right, and she's like the Sprite. Okay.
Yes.
So here was Tony Khan as he's wearing a neck brace in this interview on the NFL Network with two NFL reporters who are trying to do football stuff, probably.
Yeah.
They ask some offhanded question about the wrestling, and this is where it goes. And Mike Garofalo asks him, so what's the prognosis on your neck injury?
What's the prognosis? What are the doctors telling you?
Well, to be honest, I think you're going to have to tune in to AEW to find out what they have to say.
There we
Silly
go.
Me. You find out on TNT and TBS what my prognosis is and what's going to happen to me.
I'll tell you what, save all that stuff. Just tell us who you're taking tonight. We'll take that here. How about that?
Well, this is the NFL Network. There's a lot of people watching. I can't give out that kind of sensitive information. And also a lot of things have to play out on the second and third round. And you can bet Trent and Doug and this great group, we're going to make good decisions and keep trying to make the team better. I think a lot of great things happening in Jacksonville this week.
He's saying all
this. And I'm going to go make out with Tori Spelling.
He's saying all this with a storyline wrestling neck brace on.
That's awesome.
He's going to own the team
I actually enjoyed, when you and I were talking to him, I think it was on Friday, right? It was the last day of the Super Bowl. When Radio Row, or the Media Center as they call it now, starts kind of sputtering out. I actually enjoyed his promotional part when he was talking about the wrestling Hey, because he did it. He was pretty interesting in doing it. It didn't sound like he was, you know, reading, you know, obviously he's not reading copy or anything. I actually enjoyed that part.
They didn't on the NFL Network.
Really?
No.
They take themselves so seriously.
Yeah.
Like, some of these TV football people are like, they got all wrapped up in their head. They think they're journalists, and they're like secretly ashamed of themselves that they're not. And it's all weird. Get over yourself, some of you.
See if you can sense it. If you watch the video, you can see Steve Wyche and Mike Garafolo like rolling their eyes when they're asking the prognosis or whatever. Let's see if you can hear the phrase.
What's the prognosis? What are the doctors telling you?
Well, you know, to be honest, I think you're going to have to tune in to AEW to find out what they have to say.
There we
Silly
go.
Me. You find out on TNT and TBS what my prognosis is and what's going to happen to me.
I'll tell you what.
Silly me. You can hear one of them.
Is somebody doing the... I could tell one of them was doing that thing where you, like, passive-aggressively grab your stack of papers and start, like, pushing it down on the table. Yeah.
I think one of them
like,
was.
Like, okay, I'm cleaning up, ready to go here. Okay.
I got to go back and watch.
That's a power move. You got to start doing that more. Sometimes when you get upset with me that we were supposed to have gone to break, but I'm still talking, start pounding your papers like that. Yes.
I know what's going to happen. Ben, the first time I do it, he's going to go, I can see you stacking your papers there, Sean.
Yeah. What?
I love that. Tony Khan, man, he's going to own the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I would
someday.
Be now when he owns the Jaguars, and then that's when people will get nervous about it. Now Shad Khan doesn't look like he's kicking the bucket anytime soon. Okay, he looks like he's loving life. He's a bad influence on Jerry Jones. He is,
dude,
because
yeah.
he lives life to the fullest.
He does.
And Jerry can't keep up anymore.
Tony somehow got his dad to work into this storyline. Like when Tony got pile driven into the mat, you had like a lot of referees and officials from AEW coming out to check on him as they're bringing the stretcher out. Shad Khan came down and checked on his son, you know? Like,
Man, I'll tell you what, like if Ballers, the TV show, is still around or something like that, it's a, you know, like on the surface of it, this is a plot for a TV show about the NFL.
Yes.
Where, like, you've got this owner who is, like, a hardworking dude that made his fortune, but then he's got this son that, like, has 19 different businesses going all the time, and, like, it's incredible. Like, it's wacky stuff that, it's a whole thing. If they... Sean's stacking his papers. Fine. You know what? You do the next damn segment by yourself. Let's see who's wearing a neck brace tomorrow. How do you feel about that, Pendergast?
This is how I feel about it.
Go to break, you stupid Nick.
I feel like this. All right, Peyton Pendergast with you. Charles Barkley went nuclear on the state of Texas over the last 2 days. He didn't get just one. He got an ocean and he got a river walk. In the last 2 days, we have that for you. And also, the player I wish the Texans had moved up and gotten based purely on his press conference. We have that for you coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, real quick, Seth, we got a lot of people texting in. E-words, you asked. E-words, what?
Yeah, you had said something about an E-word, and it might be a dirty word, and I couldn't think of any bad E-words,
right. You
know, that you can't say in public or that you should never say, like a slur or something.
There's a few
so
people.
So tell me the slurs.
There's a few people that are just taking a lowercase e and sticking it in front of a slur or a curse word. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like an electronic version of that
gotcha.
Insult. Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of people sending that in.
So you can turn any word into a E. A
right,
bad
right,
by
right.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If I want to get fired, I'll start reading them. Someone said, esthetician. That's a noble trade.
Do you spell that with an A or an E?
I think it can go either way.
I think it can go
either way. Someone said evil is the worst E word. I guess theoretically it is.
Well,
evil.
Technically, yeah, I guess, yeah. But the word itself doesn't seem to have any, you know, you can say that anywhere. You can say that in church frequently. Yeah.
Right. Now, this is a word you can say, but this is the closest thing to like, an insult to somebody?
Yeah.
Nut in Clear Lake sends this in. The kids say the worst E-word you can be called is extra.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's so extra.
It's a little extra, yeah.
He's so extra.
Yeah. So there you go. There you go. But E, not
I thought you were saying Nut in Clear Lake was the dirty thing you couldn't say.
Well, that's...
I lived in Clear Lake for a little while.
That all depends, right? That all depends.
I'm married. It's cool.
Depends. Yeah. Charles Barkley, speaking of Clear Lake, down that direction, you keep going, you get to Galveston. Charles Barkley on TNT on the studio show after another New Orleans Pelicans disappointing loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. The discussion between the panel there, which included Shaq, was, is it time to send the New Orleans Pelicans to Cancun? Here was that exchange, and Charles just goes in on Galveston.
Disappointing New Orleans. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. We're not even gonna send them to Cancun. We're gonna send them to Galveston with that dirty ass water be washed up on the shore. You people think they're in the beach. Y'all okay? Y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all ass. Y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
So did I take another little...
Come on, they didn't even try, man. No, we're not getting them no plane ticket to the beach. We send their ass to Galveston, Texas, right where that dirty water washed up on the beach. They can't even get in the water.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Just because it's true doesn't mean you have to say it. Right. What the hell? It's actually... Well, Charles doesn't understand what it's like to be in this city in the summer months, and just how after a while you stop putting on airs about how pristine your water needs to be, and you just need to cool off, damn it.
If he was
getting that Galveston water,
sometimes you do. It's that hot. If he was going to be true to the team he was talking about, New Orleans, the Pelicans, and those of you from Louisiana know this, he would not have said Galveston. He would have said Grand Isle. Grand Isle, Louisiana is like the Galveston of Louisiana.
Is that their slogan?
We're the Galveston.
It's Louisiana's Galveston.
Should be. Dude, my ex-father-in-law used to love to go to Grand Isle. Man, he loved Grand Isle. And it looks like Galveston. Have you been to Grand Isle?
No, I've not.
Yeah.
I've probably driven through it,
maybe.
Right? Yeah, on I-10. No, but as far as Galveston, when our kid was younger, we went to Galveston pretty regularly. Because it is it's the closest to a beach type experience that you're
sometimes just sitting near water is calming. You don't have to go in the water. Sometimes just sitting near water helps.
Well, no, and it's got I go in the water all the time, but it's got a vibe to it. It's got the beachy vibe to it.
Yeah.
You know?
So Charles kind of apologized, I guess, right, for Galveston, but then he just took his nukes and just pointed them at San Antonio yesterday.
Yeah, and then also went back to Galveston.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, you know what? It was like Harvey. Remember, it was like Harvey was, oh no, it's bypassing us and it's going to San Antonio. Oh crap.
Sitting on us again for four days.
There was like a 12-hour window where we were praying for San Antonio.
Yeah.
Like in a good way. Like, oh, everybody keep your mind on San Antonio. They're about to have it rough.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, it came back. Okay. So I like that analogy. Here's Barkley the day after his Galveston rant. He said this.
So how do you like Galveston now?
It's beautiful.
We're not going there.
Would you go on a vacation? You got a chance.
Oh, hell no, I ain't going on vacation.
You've got a chance to wipe the slate clean here.
You got to just say, I would go to Galveston. Let me tell you something. That water's so dirty, I'd rather go to San Antonio. I'd rather go to San Antonio with them big old women. No, I'm not going to Galveston. I want to go to the beach down in the river walk and watch them big old women walk around San Antonio.
So you know what? So you know what sets him off. Okay, so you know what?
Would you rather go, Chuck? San Antonio. That's what they invented Victoria's Secret, Jack.
Why is it secret?
Because them little women down there, they can't get in them cute little underwear. They wear bloomers down in San Antonio.
Oh, my God. Somehow.
Victoria's Secret down there.
Still somehow we are going to transition from that to this.
You like no parts of Texas.
Charles has immunity. Charles has immunity.
Most respected sports journalists.
Dude, I know. That's their NBA studio show. That's what makes
They're
it
not
so
journalists,
good.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Then one of the replies to that, I saw that on Twitter, I think. One of the replies had a picture of if Game of Thrones was set in San Antonio, and it had Khaleesi sitting like in a very big white flowing gown, like looking like the woman that
a fat version of her
that Charles was describing.
Oh my God, yeah, dude. Charles in San Antonio, man, like he can't resist.
Do they have it when he goes to San Antonio? Do you think it's kind of like do you think people like love hate him there?
Probably.
Or do they just like a Simon Cowell type of thing?
Probably, yeah. They know in San Antonio, like they know, you know.
It's America. Like, it's honestly, like, what are you going to pick on any city anymore? We've all got struggles with weight in American cities.
To be clear,
countryside and the suburbs.
Yeah. I'm not even saying they know it's true. I'm saying they know it's the narrative about them. You know what I mean?
They like, know it's all kind of like it's WWE.
Yeah, it's shtick. Yeah. Keon Coleman. First pick of the second round of the draft. Wide receiver out of Florida State. Spent a couple years at Michigan State. Relevant because he was getting, as they were just sort of chopping it up and hobnobbing before his press conference. This wasn't even a question in the press conference. This is just Keon Coleman, new Buffalo wide receiver, just BSing with the media. And somebody asked him about his heavy yellow coat that he had on. And he proceeded to give out some pretty good shopping advice.
Nah, man, you forgot I went to school in Michigan for 2 years? Guess where I got this wrong, though. I'm saying you got to guess. You're going to be wrong, though, but guess.
Tom Izzo.
Nah. Macy's. What you mean? they be on sale on the rack. All the colors. Look, $79.89. Nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. Nice little. I'll take you there personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one.
Got you. I'm with you.
Thanksgiving sale, too. That's what I usually do. See, I ain't know nothing about Thanksgiving. I get, you see, I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime. You got to shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and it be cheaper. Because you go at Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? Who we starting with? Oh, we could go, oh, my bad, hold up. Y'all can hear me? This on or this off? All right, bro.
Clearly the social anxiety disorder that he suffers from. So severely,
we'll talk about anything.
Hasn't heard him. No, yeah. Yes, great advice to wait until after winter is over to go buy your winter coats
Hell
or
yeah.
anything winter related and
yes.
vice versa. Especially at Macy's. Macy's does have really good deals on stuff.
Although in Buffalo, I feel like that window is like a week. to go get the summertime.
Yeah. you know? Before everybody starts stocking back up for winter.
Yeah. The summertime in Buffalo lasts for like
never
10
a good
days.
Time to never a good time to buy a snowblower in Buffalo. They're always marked up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's obviously you're joking there, but I did say that coat was more yellow than maize, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, no, he went to Michigan State. He just said he lived in Michigan for a couple years. Is that what you were saying, Mays?
Oh, okay. But it was a yellow jacket.
It was a yellow jacket. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think they were just wondering why he had a heavy coat like that because he was.
Where did Okay. Yeah. Where did the one reporter suggest that he got the coat or guess?
I couldn't
that he
hear.
Got the coat?
Yeah, I couldn't okay. hear.
Tom Izzo.
Tom. Oh, from Tom Izzo.
Oh,
yeah.
From Tom Izzo.
Okay. Pre NIL.
So he made a little joke himself.
Yeah. I guess that Barkley thing came from the fact that Beyonce's mom called him out about the Galveston crack.
The second part, well, the second time, like when he was supposedly going to apologize.
Right.
And then he didn't apologize.
No, that didn't last.
It is true. I mean, like, there's not, like, Galveston's water has issues. It's just that it's got the, it's at various times has very high bacteria count. It's got, like, it's got issues. But you don't have to advertise it.
Right.
On mass media.
Text
That's awful if you would do that.
Text message. The bad E-word in Houston? Easterby. Easterby.
Oh, Easterby. Oh, okay.
That's the E-word right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the E-word.
I thought you were bringing it back around and saying E. coli.
No.
So, Easterby. That is a bad one.
Bad word.
Damn Easterby.
Bad word. Landry Locker is here.
What's up, man?
How are you, dude?
I'm doing fantastic.
Where's your co-host?
He's here. He's taking care of some business.
Gotcha. All right.
You know.
Pooping?
Okay.
Gotcha. How was your shindig on Saturday, man?
It was good. It was fun, man. It was very fun to enjoy day three.
And that was
of the
where
draft,
that was.
Is that Daily Sports
Dailies,
Club?
Yeah,
a lot of people came through. It was fun time for sure.
Oh yeah, somebody at the a couple people at the draft party on Friday night mentioned that they were like all excited about going to your event on Saturday. So,
yeah, they came through. Figgy put it together. Nice little collab with he and Cody Stutes.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know what? If you guys aren't our listeners, if you're not following Figgy on Instagram, I suggest you get in now while the getting's good. I think Figgy's going to blow up as a social media superstar.
Yeah, he's really good at it.
No, but I mean like blow up. Just get in. Get in.
Get in now. Yep. Yeah. Get in now.
He's about to start to run up on celebrities and video him. That's his next big step.
Really?
Like, yeah, he's just going to roll up on whoever.
How did he not wind up at the Chuck Norris gala that I was at on Saturday?
No idea.
Yeah, that
I didn't even know Chuck Norris was still alive, if I'm being honest.
He's 84. He's 84 years
really?
Old.
Really?
Yeah.
That picture, he looked pretty damn good.
I know, he looks good.
Damn, he looks great.
84.
84?
84, yeah. Yeah.
I hope I'm still roundhouse kicking fools at 84.
I would love to get my leg up that high. That would be really, really cool. So what'd you think this weekend?
It wasn't like a the world is ending type of draft, but I do think it's kind of a little bit of a wait and see. I described it as meh, and I don't mean that as like a bad thing. I think there's, if you look at Caserio's 2-year window and you look at the best case and worst case scenarios, I think it's fine. But let's just put it this way. Like those mock drafts that people put up, if you would have put that one up, I don't think too many people would be saying, wow, you really cooked there.
Yeah, probably.
Really did your thing. And the tackle thing is interesting, especially based on some of the stuff that Caserio said. But I don't think it was bad.
Yeah.
Caserio seemed to like it.
Caserio really likes Cade Stover.
Yeah, he seemed... Oh, God, yes. Good Lord.
That's where the E-word came from. We were talking about the E-word. He used the E-word twice in describing
He loves Cade Stover.
Loves him some Cade Stover. Yeah. Do you have a favorite pick?
I would say probably Bullock. I like safeties who can cover, so I like Bullock. I also do kind of, I'm kind of lenient. I'm not like a film guy. I don't pretend to be a film guy, but I do think there was like a cultural issue with USC's defense to where if you just blindly put in the USC tape and watch USC defenders, you're probably going to see some problems, but I don't necessarily know that it's all their fault.
It's not like every single player on it. It's kind of like Texas at various times before they got good again. You know, it was like there's good players there. It just, man, they cannot tie it together. I think you're exactly right on that, Landry.
So you got to feel a lot of potential and, there's a lot of untapped potential with USC defensive players. Probably.
Yes, and I like tall, fast. So, and that's the most excited I've seen them in the war room, too. When Bullock was picked,
they were pretty pumped about a few picks.
And Bullock was the one that they said they got calls after that evening with guys saying like, oh yeah, we were right about to draft him, we wanted him, and
yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
That's a classic where like a lot of teams are kind of seeing that this guy's flying under the radar and they're getting excited about him and the prospects. So yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news.
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.